from the broadcast studios of the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona. Welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a best-selling author, counselor, and your advocate for the family. Yeah, I know we're in the middle of tax season, but intentional finances is way bigger than that. And that's why Parkey Thompson is joining Dr. Randy today to talk about intentional finances, or maybe the occasional tax question. We're live, so bring your questions to 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Now, to help you be intentional with your finances, here's Randy.
All right, we're going to jump right into the deep end of the pool on this one because we're talking money today, and you know the verse, right? The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil things that can happen. And we sort of have experienced that perhaps in our lives from time to time. And as Kurt, by the way, introduced, our friend Parkey Thompson, who is a financial expert, one of our contributors here at the Intentional Living Center, is going to join me in just a moment, and he's going to answer some of your questions. But I'd like to know, think about it, when you think about the best or worst decisions you've ever made with money, maybe you can be helpful to others who are listening today. Here's Barrett, who said, the worst financial decision was buying a timeshare. You hear those commercials, you know, get out of timeshares, we'll buy you out of your timeshares. Decision, he said, based on emotion, something that we could not sustain, we couldn't afford. You ever been in one of those sales pitches? You get the phone calls, come on out, you get a free weekend. Yeah, it ain't so free, right? Because you're going to get your arm twisted. Oh, I know, maybe you're in the business, you're going to call, but come on. You know that people who can't afford it shouldn't do it, even if they can. Not so much. Mark says, here's the worst decision. When I was laid off at age 36, I went to vocational school and ended up with a huge debt. And I still can't find solid work in the field that I was trained to go into. A bad idea. School debt is huge. You know, people who get school debt, it can kind of just really drag them down and become a huge problem. So we want you to come and join us today. What's the maybe the best or worst financial decision you've ever made? And we've got our friend Parkey Thompson on the phone today to help us sort all this out. How you doing, Parkey?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Doing well. Hey, did you ever make a stupid decision with money?
Well, you know, I was listening to what you said about Barrett and Mark, and I was just thinking, do you have to limit it down to one? Because I've made tons of them. They're bad decisions. And, you know, you go back and look and you learn. Hopefully you learn from them so you don't repeat them again. But we all make bad decisions. I think one of the biggest things was when I came home from work that day, right after my child was born, my wife was crying, said she didn't want to go back to work. And of course, I didn't want her to go back either. I told her we'd adjust our lifestyle, and we did. We just did it with credit cards. And that's when things began to pile up, and we never stopped our desire for everything else. We just started putting it on credit. It caught up with us over the next 20 years, and it was rough getting out, but we made it, thankfully.
What was the wake-up call? Did you have kind of a crisis moment that brought it all to a head?
Well, it was about 15 years ago that summer. I just turned 41, and I realized I have no plan. I'm broke. I'm more is going out than's coming in on a monthly basis, and I was making we were making phenomenal salary, but it just wasn't enough to keep up with what we had done. And while we made a decision on Saturday to really turn things around and really get on the plan that I teach people today. And on Monday, I lost my job. And so we'd been on plans before. I say that in air quotes there. But the point is, when I lost my job, that was the wake-up call. And it showed me that the things that we didn't think we could do, you really can when you don't have any income coming in.
Yeah. Stressful. I can remember my dad telling me one time, many, many years ago, he's in heaven now for over 20 years, but he said, you know, the worst thing is financial stress. You ever get into a place where you got that kind of stress, there's just nothing like it. Apparently, very early in my parents' marriage, they had that challenge, and I remember later him saying to me as I was growing up, just don't ever get there. And you work with people every day. I mean, do people come into you, Parkey, for help? Have they dug a hole and they jumped in now looking to get out? Or you know, where are they starting in this process?
Well, more often than not, the people that I work with have in most cases reached their rock bottom. They don't know where else to go. They've ignored it for long enough. They've tried certain things. It's not working. And now they've hit rock bottom. And quite frankly, those are the best people to work with because they're going to work. They're going to claw their way out of that situation. But that stress that you're talking about, it's real. It's absolutely real. It affects individuals. You know, a lot of people in this country today are on anxiety medication, depression medication, and so forth. I've had doctors tell me that 6 out of 10 Americans are on that stuff, and most of it's related to finances. I see marriages on the time of brink of collapse because of the financial situation that we've got ourselves in. It's not worth it. It's stuff. Let's get on a plan. Let's get out of it. Let's live life like we should.
Parkey Thompson, one of our contributors here at the Intentional Living Center, joining me today to help you think about finances in maybe a new way, a more intentional way. You're welcome to join us. Maybe you have a question for Parkey. He's an expert in this field. He's dug himself out of the hole and now helping many others. Or maybe you'd just like to share the worst decision you ever made or the best one with money. As you look at money and you look at your faith, you look at your family, give us a call. 888-888-1717 is the number, and we'll try to get you up on the air here with Parkey real soon. Talk a little bit, Parkey, and as you deal with people, about where do they start? What are some of the 1, 2, 3 steps they can get started with in this process?
Well, I think the first thing is a recognition that we have a situation. A lot of people want to ignore it, and that was me. I knew it. I mean, I'd been to college, but, yeah, I took math in elementary school, and it showed me that 2 + 2 = 4, not that equals 10 the way I'd been living. So the truth is you have to wake up and you have to realize that you've got a situation. And secondly, you've got to build a plan. Knowing that situation, know essentially what your limitations are as far as income right now. What can I do? How do I build a plan that takes care of the necessities? How do I essentially keep a roof over my head and utilities on, food on the table and transportation that's going to allow me to get back and forth to work? And anything outside of that, and you know, the sub things, you know, you need insurance and so forth, but anything outside of that, like gifts and entertainment, going out to eat, and maybe even buying new clothes, because most of us have plenty of clothes. All those things are going to have to be on the outside. They're going to have to be prioritized. And if we're really going to get out of this situation, we've got to look at the debt situation that we're in. How do we address those things? How do we make those minimum payments to keep us current? But how do we begin to be aggressive and start paying those things down, being intentional with every dollar so that we can take that debt and get it out of our lives? I meet with clients on a regular basis who are spending, you know, upwards of 25 to 50% of their net income just servicing debt. And you can imagine what you could do when you didn't have that.
Right.
Get rid of that stuff and stick to a plan. Yeah. Third thing, husbands and wives have to be together. They have to be intentional. They have to get past the separate checking accounts and so forth. They have to work together to build a plan. They have to hold each other accountable. They have to become intentional together with every dollar and realizing that we can work this thing out, but we've got to do it together.
Yeah. Well, you said a lot there. I mean, there was a lot of information flowing through there, Parkey. And I think, as we know, working with people over the years in every area, many times the problem is simply people don't even know what the problem is. And so when you're in the midst of something you don't understand, it's easy just to kind of block it out and ignore it and assume it's going to go away. No matter how foolish that sounds, the fact is many of us do that. We just don't know. And so if people don't know how much is coming in, how much is going out, and that's what the research shows. Most people don't know that, and then pretty soon it can catch up with them. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to ask you the question. Let's start with step one. If someone today is listening, they're driving down the road, and they're just saying, I get it. I'm feeling the stress, the anxiety. And what would be the very first thing they could do immediately to be intentional in the next week that would make a difference? So we'll get to Parkey Thompson on that question in just a moment. You're welcome to join us thinking about the best or worst decision you've ever made or a question you have for Parkey. Give us a call at 888-888-1717. Ivan said the worst decision, credit cards. Well, we know that can be a problem. I love the call I got a number of years ago. The woman said, here's how I deal with my credit cards. I can't cut them up. So I put them in a coffee can full of water and freeze them. So if I need them, I at least have to let it thaw out. By the time it thawed out, I don't need it anymore. There's always a plan, right? 888-888-1717.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
There are signs we're going to see here in a moment that are very visible. We see them every day. You drive down the road, you see them. Those signs are important for our life. But if we want to thrive, we got to be discerning the signs that we don't have up on a placard that we don't read every day. Wouldn't it be nice if God would just put a sign, get up in the morning on the wall, there's a sign that says, hey, here's what you're to do today and here's what's going on today. Well, he has in many ways given us those signs. We need to be discerning, it says here. You guys, he says, you can discern when the weather is going to be good and bad by reading the sky. But you miss it. You're a hypocrite. You can't discern the signs of our time. Boy, as Christians, we've got to be discerning of the times in which we live. Indeed. Listen, come on in. This is Intentional Living. We're all about helping together as we go through life together, standing together, knowing that we have a choice every morning when we get up. We can either live an intentional life in Christ, which means we stretch toward the goals that will honor him and benefit our family and our life, or we can live an unintentional life like the grasshopper that jumps from one leaf to another, never landing on something that really is going to get them to where they want to go. Or you can have good intentions, and many of us do, where we procrastinate, and we all do in some areas of our life, but we know when we do, it holds us back. And money's a big one. We're talking money today. And I just want to thank Parky. We'll get to him in a moment. But I want to remind you, members, watch for that teaching coming your way, those six signs that are worth stopping for in your life. And in fact, money's one of them. We talk about that on that this month's teaching. If you're not a member, come and join us. We'd love to have you be a part of this journey. We need you to be a part of this journey together as we make a difference in our communities, starting right here in our own homes, by being intentional. And the teaching will come your way, plus two of our books from the Intentional Living Center. Just go to theintentionallife.com and click on the donate button and come and join us today so we can get this out to you to say thank you, like we have to Debbie and Amanda and to Muriel and to Dave and to Jones, who have recently joined us in monthly support for the Intentional Living Center. 888-888-1717. Press number 4 during West Coast business hours. Talk to our staff or go to theintentionallife.com is the address, and we'd love to have you check in there and join us in support. You know, the Bible says to us, here's Paul talking to Timothy in the context of stuff about money. He says, godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we will carry nothing out of it. And he goes on to say, those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and into a snare and into foolishness and harmful lust that will draw men to destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Which raises the question, Parky, before I ask you to take us through these steps. I think in our culture, let's face it, here in the West, in the United States, we have more than we can ever imagine. How do we discern stewardship and greed? I mean, how do we discern the difference between I need a little more, I need to save a little more, I need to prepare a little more, and the fact that maybe I'm really, according to Scripture, really greedy? How do we know the difference?
Well, I think when you look at that, we live in the greatest country in the world, the most prosperous country in the world. We have pretty much anything that is available to us to buy, whether we've got the money to be able to do it or we go into debt to be able to do that. I think if you look there in the New Testament as well, it says God tells us that he will supply every one of our needs. But he doesn't tell us he'll supply our greed. Mm-hmm. And more often than not, we do a lot of that in debt to be able to do that. Solomon, in the book of Ecclesiastes, talks about how life is vain. And so if he talks about it, anything that he had and wanted, he was able to get. But it just didn't bring him the peace and the happiness that he really needed. So I really think that to really be a good steward, you have to manage according to what God's plan is. And if you go throughout God's word, it will tell you that it's not wise to be in the debt. It's not wise to be the slave, servant to someone else. Yeah. And when we do that type of stuff, it's like that ball and chain. It just gets us down, further. And so we've got to, all of us get into it. There are very few that don't. We've got to stop, count the cost, go back and make amends for our mistakes, pay those things off, and really get on a solid plan moving forward. And I believe that bathed in prayer, God will help us. God will help us when we become good stewards, and he will show us what we need, and he'll take care of those things as he promises, and he will help us get out of the situation that we've created.
Amen to that. Hey, listen, maybe you have a question for Parky Thompson, who's with us today, one of our contributors, our financial contributor to the Intentional Living Center. He's an expert in this area, helping a lot of families get out of financial debt and put a plan together. You're welcome to join us. Maybe tell us your, you know, the dumb decision or the best decision, or just have a question for us. 888-888-1717. Speaking of callers, let's go to Stephen, who's listening in Arizona. Hi, Stephen. Welcome to the program.
Shalom. How are you?
I'm well. Peace to you as well. Hey, tell me, talk about money. What good decision or bad decision?
It's both. I'm an entrepreneur. I've been in my own business for 38 years in the heating and air conditioning industry, buying and selling surplus inventories, and I've done well with that. But I invested $150,000 in a game called Animal Winner that I created, and it came out of a concept of bringing families and children together. An easy question, 50 points, a medium, 75, a hard 100, the first one to 500 becomes the Animal Winner. And I would engage people and family and friends, and they loved it. Well, I decided to make it into a board game, and I spent $150,000 on the game. And I had a site, animalwinner.com, and I, you know, this was different than my heating and air conditioning business. I didn't know it, but I had a passion for it. But what happened is I spent $5,000 with a man, $2,500 in games, $2,500 in cash, and he promised to bring the game into the schools. Well, he did not. What he did is he gave the games to people, and what they did is they put it on Amazon, selling my game for $20, where I was selling it for $24.95.
So in the end, the end game here is you lost money.
Well, yes and no, because what I finally did in prayer is I said, Lord, was this a mistake? He said, no, I brought this to bring families and children together. It was not to make money, and I blessed your business. I had 2,400 games remaining. I donated all 2,400 to feed the children. So the game is going around the world. Mm. It really is an offering unto the Lord. Mm. And he's blessed me. We came out with a YouTube video called Jesus at the Well with Prayer that I spent $500 on. And now it's a YouTube video going around the world. In 1 month, we have 440 people have seen it.
Mm. That's fantastic. Well, Stephen, God bless you. Thank you for sharing that. Let me get another caller on here. We've got Leo on the line with a question for Parkey today. Hey, Leo.
Oh, how you doing, sir?
Good. What's your question for Parkey?
It was just more of a general, like, financial question. I'm kind of on the other end of the spectrum here. I make maybe like $22,000 a year, and I'm staying with my parents, and they're actually they're in the hole, and it doesn't look like they're you know what I mean? Like, doesn't look like they know how to get out of it. And I'm just trying to help them. Like, I don't have much to you know, give them in terms of, like, money or something. But, like,
So are you living there free? Are you helping with rent? And
Yeah, actually, our rent is actually not much because we tend to, like, the little duplex and, like, management and stuff like that.
Are you there because you want to be, or do you feel like an obligation to help your parents?
That's a good question.
Yeah. And it's a question worth answering. Parkey, maybe you can jump in on this. When you got young people growing up and the parents haven't made good decisions, they're wrestling, and the kids feel like they don't know how to help. You know,
yeah.
What can Leo and others like him do?
It's a very tough thing to go through, to watch your parents suffer. Leo, when you look at that and you say that parents aren't really getting ahead, I mean, is it something to where they're suffering on a monthly basis where it's difficult to put food on the table, to make their rent or house payment, those type of things? Or is it more that you just see them not getting ahead, not living maybe a luxurious life like you would want them to live? I mean, what do you see there?
Well, the thing is, you know, food's always on the table, and we get, you know, bills paid maybe. We're blessed to be able to do that, you know, to be in that situation. But I want to take, like, the next godly step, and I've consulted, like, as the Bible says, you know, in counsel there's safety. And within, like, what I've asked, the answer has been to move out, you know, build myself up and then help build them up. I guess I need more faith, you know, to be able to walk out there and just step out of the belt, you know, and start running, you know.
Well, I think that there's
anything good, you know.
That's what I hear, Leo. I hear a great son, loves his parents, wants to help his parents. They're not making either good decisions, or as a result of consequences, here they are with financial challenges. And I think of the passage in the scripture, Parkey, that says a parent should provide for the child and not the child for the parent? Because I think this is the kind of thing that can happen. It can get stressful. Now, I know there's times that that has to happen. But, Leo, I think you're probably heading in the right direction to say, hey, you got to get on your own feet, have a plan for the future, and then be able to help your parents. But, boy, if you feel that, that obligation to have to be there and have to take care of them without getting a plan that's going to help them get out of this mess long term, you could be there 10 years in the same, you know, the same hole. So,
and a couple of things. There's a difference between helping and enabling. Okay. If there is a definite need in helping and you have to do that, and again, I mentioned the food and then obviously the housing and so forth, or something like that, you can help, then obviously that's something that you may want to consider doing. The second thing that I would tell you is make sure you don't get in that situation. Learn from this.
Yes.
Learn from what they're showing you in this and make sure that your life, and you didn't say whether you're married, have a family yet or whatever, but the point is you probably will on down the road. Make sure that this is something that you learn from that you don't bring your family into later in life.
Boy, that's learning, isn't it? Hold on, Parkey. Parkey Thompson, we're talking money today. We're live, and Parkey's going to stay with me afterward. We're going to record a program for later airing, so you can still get in, and we'll get you on. Worst decision, best decision, or question about money, Parkey Thompson here at Intentional Living joining me at 888-888-1717.
Anyone can visit Washington, D.C., but you can join Dr. Randy Carlson for something even bigger. The Intentional Living Center Washington, D.C. tour this October is so unique. Beyond the historian guided tours and sites, beyond the brand new 430,000 square foot Bible Museum, you'll have the opportunity to join Dr. Randy and the tour group to pray for our nation and our nation's leaders. The Intentional Living Center Washington, D.C. tour is your chance to explore and discover our nation's true Christian heritage. But October will be here before you know it, so make plans now to join us October 10th through the 16th. Go to theintentionallife.com/Washington. That's theintentionallife.com/Washington.
Hi, this is Dr. Kevin Lehman with advice on how you can be an intentional parent. My daughter was about 14 years of age, and I said to her one day, honey, I've been doing some thinking, and pretty soon you're going to be driving. In fact, you're going to be driving in just 15 months. She said rather glibly, Dad, what, honey? 13 months. See, they're counting. You know, the smart parents comes alongside of your kid. You want to share these little milestones with your kids. Don't you want your son or daughter to drive your family car? I always wanted them to. It would make my life a little easier, quite frankly. But I also have the conversation with my daughter that went like this. Honey, do you think Dad would ever give the keys to the car to a kid who is not responsible in the home or school? Well, no. I don't think you would. You know, I knew you were a smart kid. I want you to know I'm looking forward to you driving the family car someday. And by the way, your mother's going to teach you to drive.
I wonder how that turned out. Dr. Kevin Lehman, he's joining me, and together we are doing, we're going to be doing a conference for married, for couples and for parents. And we're going to be in Albuquerque on April the 7th, less than a month away now. Get your tickets early, discount available right now. So get your tickets, Albuquerque. Don't delay. You can go to theintentionallife.com. We're at Hoffmantown Church in Albuquerque, April 7th, Saturday. We're going to open the doors at 8 o'clock. Get started at 8:30. Maybe even have some coffee there for you. That sounds good. My wife would say you better, or she won't be there. Got to be coffee, right? And we're going to talk marriage and parenting, take your questions. We're going to have a great time. Dr. Kevin Lehman, myself, hope for your home, help for your home, humor for your Saturday, April 7th. Then Glendale on April 21st. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. I'm going to get to that question in a moment that I promised on these steps. Parkey Thompson is here to help us think through money and how to be intentional with money. We've been asking the question, what's kind of the dumbest decision or the best decision you've made? And Amaris is on the line from Georgia. Welcome.
Hi.
Welcome to the program. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. How are you all?
We're doing well. You ready to open and disclose the worst decision you made with money?
Oh, this is so embarrassing, but I'm doing it to hope to save a young person from making this decision.
Okay.
So in my early 20s, I had the epiphany that God wanted me to go to Haiti and minister the gospel and just save the whole island, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I quit my government job, sold everything I had, got rid of my car, and simply had a suitcase and a couple of bags, and went to Haiti. And then after a month, realized that I was too Americanized for this, that I missed my showers and my ACs and, you know, ready-made food instead of on the fire. I mean, I didn't have a plan. It was just one of those decisions that was just very, very bad. I didn't have anything saved. I just thought, oh, I would go and God would take care of it.
Now, did you have friends or family who loved you, came along and saying, Amaris, we love you, but this is really stupid?
Yes. And I said to them, well, God told me to do it.
Yeah, that raises an interesting question, Parkey. We want to honor God, and how do we make discerning financial decisions as Christians? We want to do the right thing. Amaris is making, in her heart, she wants to go minister to people. She wants to use her resources to do a good thing. But even in the midst of wanting to do a good thing, we can do some, you know, not so good things. I got about a minute left, Parkey. What do you think?
Well, I think it's a very hard thing to it's a fine line in there how you do that. But I do believe this, that where God is going to guide us, he provides for us. And in this particular case, I mean, I know that's kind of humor what she was talking about there, like the showers and the hot food and that type of stuff. But a lot of times we have to consider our own wants and needs and so forth before we make a decision like that. I've had people who start businesses and thinking that God had told them to do that. And the business never really got off the ground, but now they're hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, and in some cases over $1 million in debt because of this, but they truly believe that God had put him in that situation. Mm. What I would tell you is where God guides, he does provide. He will provide that way. And I don't believe that God guides us to go into debt and again, risk his reputation, I would put it that way, because of him not supplying.
Absolutely. Parkey, I want you, we're going to hang on. We're going to go off the air live, but we're going to continue to tape. You can hang on with me for another half hour?
Absolutely.
All right, and we'll leave the lines open. I'd love to have you call and talk. 888-888-1717. Best decision, worst decision. Question for us, give us a call. You know, the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion, Amaris, and I think you're warning to young people and others listening. And if you don't have peace, and if you got, and there's wisdom in many counselors, and God is a God that wants us to plan, as the scripture says, but then commit the plan to him, right? And so as we put a plan together, get good counsel. I think that's the message from Amaris. Get good counsel and really make sure that God is in it, because Parkey's right. If God is in it and it is the right decision, he will supply. All right, as I mentioned, we're going to continue to record here. You're welcome to give us a call. Tomorrow, we're going to be here in the studio and talk about non-sexual intimacy in relationships. And so come and join us. It'll be a very important topic for us from the Intentional Living Center. You're welcome to get more information on our events and so on at theintentionallife.com. See you tomorrow.